मुकं करोति वाचालं पुंगुं लंघयति यत्कृपा तमहं वन्दे परमानंद माधवम्। I bow down to Krishna, the embodiment of supreme bliss, through whose grace the lame scale mountains and the dumb become eloquent. May Krishna be the guide of all lives. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter. Daivasura Sampatti Vibhaga Yoga, the division of divine and demoniac treasures. In this chapter, Krishna first mentioned 26 divine treasures. Now he is elaborating demoniac treasures. When we read this portion of the Bhagavad, this section of the Bhagavad Gita, we feel that Krishna was the greatest psychologist one can think of. As an omniscient God, he could monitor every thought wave, every thought of human mind. He knows our good side, he knows our bad side. So he mentioned that if you hold these divine treasures, it will lead you to liberation. And if you hold these demoniac treasures, it will bind you. Bondage is always painful. Krishna is all-loving God, so he wants to make us free. Moreover, the Gita is considered as moksha shastra, the scripture which gives liberation. Verse 13. Idam adya maya labdham, idam prapse manuratham, idam asti idam api me, bhavishyati punardhanam. This I have gained today, and that longing I will fulfill. This wealth is mine, and that also shall be mine in future. Krishna is talking about greed for wealth. I have got this much money, this much wealth today. I shall get that much money next day. Then if I invest, I shall get this money. In this way, this person constantly thinks of money. Human beings love money. Why? Because they think that money will fulfill their desires. Money will give them security, safety. Money is power. But truly speaking, money cannot give security. To me, money gives more insecurity than security. If you are a mendicant without any possessions, you can move freely and fearlessly. But if you have a lot of jewelry or a lot of money, you will be afraid to go on the street. But a mendicant does not mind. I think money gives more insecure feeling than a moneyless person. Look at the Shah of Iran, one of the richest persons in this world. Could money save his life? Could money give him security? He had to leave his own country. Of course, political situation was there, but I am just telling you that how much money he had. I heard when he left Iran, one 707 was packed with gold and money. So much wealth. He moved to Egypt. Just see, money cannot give any security. Sanchayi mrityu. Those who have excessive greed, they die from that greed. We remember we used to read Panchatantram when we are young boys. We had to memorize those Sanskrit verses. Aham eka dinam jati. Aham eka dinam jati. Dau maso migo pakshi. Bhakshinov. In this way, there is the meaning of this verse is, a person, a hunter, killed one boar and one deer. And he was carrying that two things on his shoulder. And while going by, that hunter was bitten by a snake. So the hunter died. And this one jackal was passing by, he saw these three dead bodies. The jackal, the boar's body, the deer, and the hunter. So he was calculating, this man will go for 1 month. And 2 months, the boar and the deer. He was calculating that how much provision he had, you know, this meat he will eat 3 months. Then he said, but you know, today I shall not touch their bodies. Today I shall eat the, what do you call it, the bow's, the hunter's bow and that gut string. But today I shall eat the gut string and we, the boar body and deer body and man's body I shall eat from tomorrow. You see, he was calculating how many months it will go. And the moment he bit the jackal, bit the string of the bow, that arrow was shot and it pierced his body and he died. And too much greed, you know, he tried to eat first the leather of that string and that killed him. You see, boyhood days we have to memorize all these Sanskrit verses. That means don't be greedy. It is that animals, they have various stories, that Panchatantram, the children's story. I forgot, it is not coming, I tried to remember. Masameikam dinam, Vahimikam, Vahireva dinam jati do maso, mrigo, varahu, Paddhavaksha dhanurguna. Anyhow, two-thirds I remember, three-fourths I remember, one-fourth did not come to my mind. Anyhow, so this greed is the cause of destruction. Bhartrihari wrote in his 100 verses on renunciation, the felicity of those whom contentment unceasingly makes happy is not interrupted, while the cravings of those of greedy and confounded minds are never quenched. Such being the case, for whom did the Creator create the Meru representing inconceivable wealth, but confining to itself the glorious potency of his gold? I would not covet it. Meru is a mythological conception, means mountain of gold. The person who has contentment, he has happiness. And uncontented, the person who has lot of craving, he has no happiness. So, a person might have a mountain of gold, might have a gold mountain, that does not mean that person is happy, that he wants to say. Happiness is inside, it is not outside. Eknath wrote in his commentary, on the highway between my home and Berkeley is a billboard advertising a particular variety of noxious weed. It makes no appeal to logic or taste or sensory satisfaction. It simply touts the brand name, Mor. I think it is a kind of cigarette, is it not? Whenever I pass, I think to myself that ad sums up our epoch, the civilization ushered in by the Industrial Revolution, in whose crisis we are caught today, has been called the Age of Progress and the Age of Science. I would call it simply the Age of More. The word has two aspects here. The first is there is always more of everything. The second, the more you have, the happier you will be. Several years ago, I remember reading about a survey done over a wide base of salaries and occupations. One response caught my attention. Almost everyone said they would be satisfied if they just had $100 a month more. The interesting thing was that the range of income was from $12,000 a year to $40,000. It did not seem to matter how much a person was getting. Everyone wanted just a little bit more. That is the human condition. The very nature of the mind is to desire, to desire, to desire. If desires could be satisfied once and for all, the mind would be out of a job. Today I got this, tomorrow I am going to get that. The words must have sounded contemporary, even in the Stone Age, when the first caveman stepped out of his cave. But through most of history, the vast majority of human beings had narrow limits on what desires they could actually satisfy. The Industrial Revolution changed that, at least for some parts of the world, ushering in what the mystics might call the most potentially explosive epoch in history. An age when, to all appearances, any material desire can be satisfied. This is a terribly dangerous state of affairs. There is only so much of everything to go around, and we have so cleverly magnified our means of getting and producing that it is now possible for human greed to despoil an entire planet and impoverish the lives of billions of people. Recently, I read an article celebrating the Great Exhibition of 1851 in London, the world's first industrial fair. The British Empire was at its zenith then, and the exhibit hall that journalists called the Crystal Palace was full of promise. The new engines and inventions of the Industrial Revolution, vast material wealth taken from places like India and China, the world's first display of consumer products. Science was conquering nature. Medicine was conquering disease. Europe was conquering Asia and Africa. To those who visited the exhibition, two things must have seemed clear, that there was plenty of the earth's bounty for everyone, and that everything necessary for human happiness could be brought within reach through modern science, commerce, and industry. Look at some examples which I hope will provide a global perspective for these verses. Sri Krishna is trying to show what the result is when we allow the desire for profit to grow until it breaks out of every natural restraint, so that it is free to do what it likes. There are many sides to this, but here I want to look simply at greed on the largest scale. It is an axiom of modern business that there is always more money to be made. The polite word for this is growth. Not only should your bank account always be growing, the rate at which it grows should always be growing too. No matter how much you made last year, this year you should be able to make more. Where is this growth to come from? The answer is one of the great discoveries of the age of Rajas. Unlimited growth comes from unlimited consumption. More energy, more materials, more capital, more labor. The more you consume, the faster you can grow. Anyhow, our Mr. Ishwaran wrote a long commentary. He brought colonial exploitation of the Western countries. I shall not read all those things. The next verse. Asu maya hata shatrur hanishye cha aparanupi. Ishwaro aham aham bhogi siddhu aham balavan sukhi. That enemy I have slain, and others too I will slay. I am the Lord of all, I enjoy, I am prosperous, mighty and happy. That is the nature of the destructive force, anger. The moment his desire is thwarted, stopped, he will be angry. Anger and desire, they go side by side. Anger comes from unsatisfied desire. Asu maya hata, I killed that person. And aparanopi, I shall kill others too. If a person is on my way, I shall destroy. This is the nature of the destructive force. Oshuram. Always planning, plotting to kill, destroy people. Those who destroy others, they will be destroyed. I read a case history of you, the famous psychologist. A person came to him with mental sickness. It took him a long time to interview him. One day he said that I murdered a person, I killed a person. From that time on, I feel that evil spirit is attacking me, hovering me. Even I get all bad dreams. I'm scared. That one murder was destroying, ruining his mental peace. So he came to him. Just, if you destroy, you will be destroyed. I read in my history, there was a Mohammedan king in our country before the British period. And that king was betrayed by his commander-in-chief. Betrayed money, actually this commander-in-chief killed that king and wanted to get the throne. And his last life, oof. Then the British threw him out. And he was in jail. Put him, you know, because he betrayed. So British also put him in jail. And he used to shout at night time, I see that king's bloody head is coming towards me. He could not sleep. He died out of frustration in the jail. If you destroy, you will be destroyed. If you love, you will be loved. This is the eternal law. But these people, these demoniac people, do not understand it. Do not realize it. Shatrur honishye cha aparanopi, that word cha has a special meaning. Not only I kill my enemy, I shall destroy his whole dynasty, whole people. I shall rob his whole wealth. Ishwaro aham, I am God. God means I am the most powerful one, I am the ruler. Aham bhogi, I have come in this world to enjoy. Shiddho aham, I am strong. Balavan, Shukhi, I am happy. His happiness is in destruction. You may say, Swami, these things, do they have any modern perspective? If you read Eknatheshwaran's commentary, you will find the modern perspective. What is going on in the national, international field? A demoniacal nature is repeated. One religious group is contemplating to destroy another religious group. One country is contemplating to destroy another country. One nation is trying to destroy another nation. This is going on. Don't think that it has no meaning at the present moment. With those who apply the scripture in their lives, they can see that what is going on. Eknath says, it is easy enough to picture a demented individual saying this kind of thing. Emperors have made a litany of it. In the days of Caligula and Nero, in fact, you actually could proclaim yourself God and get away with it, though often not for long. In our own times, these lines could be spoken by a captain of industry or a king of organized crime like Marlon Brando's Godfather. But in all these cases, the picture is so extreme that we may find it difficult to relate it to ourselves. Well, we say, at last I am no Nero. I may have my problems, but I will never be like that. Yet the shrill voice that mouths these verses does not belong exclusively to tyrants. It is the ego's, and one of the most sobering experiences in meditation comes when we realize that this is what arrogance sounds like in any of us, even those who are likely to be forgotten by history. When we finally break into green room of the unconscious, we find Mr. Ego there stripped of all the masks and makeup he wears for the outside world, perishing before a mirror like some demented Peter Sellers character, and uttering lines like these. Very few, of course, ever verbalize such thoughts. But the more inflated self-will becomes, the easier it is to hear these verses beneath the conventions of civilized behavior, not only in individuals, but in the arrogance of a race, a nation, even a corporation. I've destroyed my enemies, says the voice of power. I shall destroy others too, if they get in my way. Am I not like God? I do as I like. This is the essence of gangsterism. Not all gangsters come from Chicago and hide from the law. Some have held positions of distinction. Some have even been accorded titles such as the Great. Entrepreneurs like Commodore Vanderbilt, I do not know all these people or companies, built empires by translating these verses into a ruthless but colorful way of business. Take what you want and eliminate your opposition. Men like Leopold II and Baker Pasha did the same when carving our millions of square miles of Africa for Belgium and Great Britain. Their names are all honored now, as are those of other great empire builders of history, Alexander the Great, Napoleon, Ray, Cortes, Clive. Remember, not for what they took from life, but by the civilization they spread in the wake of their conquests. These are men of tremendous rajas who felt themselves allied with destiny. In a world that measures success by competition, power, and physical might, they are considered immensely successful. The Gita would object. In the arrogance that comes with power, they rolled across history like steamrollers, causing suffering to millions of innocent people who often did not even oppose them, but only happened to stand in the path of their desires. The inheritors of the mantle of power today are often not single individuals, but boards and committees. They may not literally believe themselves to be like God, as this verse puts it, but it does quite enough damage simply to believe unquestioningly that you have God on your side. In practice, it means I have unlimited power and it is right to do what I want. He also wrote long commentary on this verse also, quoting the history, what is going on around the world, which is the repetition of the same demoniacal power. Next verse. Adhyo abhijano vanasmi ku innosti sadrishu maya yakshi dashami modishi iti ajnano vimohita. I am rich. I am of high birth. Who else is equal to me? I will offer sacrifice. I will give. I will rejoice. Thus, deluded by ignorance. I am rich. I have money, so I can do anything. It is true, money has power. I used to read that Patricia Hearst story, Symbionia's Liberation Army. I used to read And later on, you see some people are arrested, some people are killed, of course, in their fight. But that girl got pardoned from the president because of the she was coming from influential family and lot of money. And somehow or other, she got escaped. Just see, money has power. I am coming from such and such family, Norman blood flows into my brain. Krishna says, this type of egotistic people you will find in the society. Don't you know? I am coming from such and such family. Kuvinnosmi sadrishomaya, who is, I have no peer. Jikshi, I shall perform sacrifice. Now you will have to understand what Krishna meant here, sacrifice. You see, there are some people, they want to show their power, wealth, luxury. So sometimes they go in a destructive way, sometimes they do some constructive work also. Constructive means big festival, whereas millions of dollars will be spent in that festival, just to show that how much wealth I have. That is the way they get name, fame. I was writing a life of a woman devotee of Sri Ramakrishna. Her husband was extremely rich and he decided that I shall build a shrine with 100,000 images of Vishnu. He collected 80,000 and could not complete it. And he was so rich and very whimsical. He said that from today I shall smoke tobacco, but my tobacco is to be ignited by dollar bills or currency notes, you know, rupees. Whereas 500 rupees, they put it on the tobacco and then they set fire. And then the tobacco will be burned and then he will smoke his herbal bowl. And he was showing that how rich he is. I heard about a rich man in who was a disciple of Swami Vivekananda, but that rich, his father went to see the Viceroy. He said, first, spread, I cannot, you have a red carpet. Eh? He said, I cannot walk with the red on the red carpet. First, spread notes, money, and then over the money I shall walk and see Viceroy. A demoniac nature. Want to show. Jikshi, I shall perform sacrifice. Obijano banushmi, kuli, prestige. America in this sense is very good. Here people do not mind to push their garbage can to the street or do household work. Even rich people do. Even when I read that when President Ford was in White House, he used to make his own tea. The president of the country, he used to fix his breakfast or tea. I read in the paper. It means they have a dignity of labor. But if a rich man in Calcutta, do you think that he will push the garbage can on the street? No. He has a half a dozen servants. You see, in this country, you do not mind. Which is a very good sign. But with rich people in India, they won't do it. I read in the history that Siraj ad-Daula, the last Mamajan king of Bengal, was arrested. His attendants asked him to leave the palace because the English people invaded his capital. He could not, because nobody was there to put shoes into his feet. Well, I am a king, I cannot touch shoe. That I, my servant, all servants ran away through the back door, you see. He had no servant there. See, the servant should put on, he does not know how to put on shoes, you see. And that is called Obijano Ospi. Prestige. Then dashyami means I give charity. And you will find Sri Ramakrishna said his rich devotee, millionaire devotee Jodhu Mallik. He has a lot of flatterers around. And they will flatter, oh, how beautiful you are, you did a wonderful thing, how beautiful your face, how beautiful you are doing worship. And he, rich people keep a dozen flatterers around him, and he feels himself great. Thakur said, why do you keep these flatterers around you? They will ruin your life. Oh, master, you will save their life. You better save their lives. Dashami, they give charity just for name and fame. Modishye, modishye means I shall enjoy. Shahjahan, the Mohammedan king, had several hundred begums, wives. Wherever he found any beautiful woman, he took in his capital. Modishye, Rajashi, this is Asuric nature, demoniacal nature. Several hundred begums, queens, Shahjahan, who built that Taj Mahal. I read in history. Iti ajnana vimohita, such person are deluded by ajnana, ignorance. These people are tremendous superiority complex. Next verse. Aniko chitto vibhranta mohojalo samabritaha. Prasakta kama bhogeshu patanti naroki asuchau. Krishna says, thus deluded by ignorance, bewildered by many fancies, entangled in the meshes of delusion, addicted to the gratification of lust, they fall into a loathsome hell. Aniko chitta vibhranta. Aniko chitta vibhranta means his mind is very restless. It is connected with many things. He is going this place, that place, doing this thing, that thing. His mind is scattered. He has no peace of mind. Scattered mind does not get peace. Mind has five stages. Kshipta, Vikshipta, Ekagra, Niruddha, Mudha. Mind has five stages. Mudha. Mudha means with taking drug, you know, lying down, that is a mudha mind. That mind is functionless, is not functioning. Mudha mind. Or excessively drunk mind. That mind is no good. Full of tamas. Then kshipta. Kshipta means scattered. Mind is moving all directions. Every second you will find new thought, new thought, new thought, new thought wave. Vikshipta. Shipta, vikshipta. Vikshipta means distracted mind. This moment mind is on God, next moment mind in worldly objects. There is a tremendous fluctuation of the mind. Sri Ramakrishna gave that example. Fly. Fly sometimes sits on the garbage can, sometimes it may sit on your food, if the food is open. Sometimes it sits in the good place, sometimes it sits on the bad place. That is called vikshipta mind. Sometimes mind thinks about God, sometimes mind thinks about worldly things. Mudha, kshipta, vikshipta, ekagra. Ekagra means one-pointed mind. All power comes from that mind, concentrated mind. And niruddha. Niruddha mind means when mind stops at the time of samadhi or in deep meditation, that mind gets maximum bliss, joy, peace, happiness. So Patanjali divided the five stages of the mind. But this person of demoniac nature is aniko chitta vibhranta, very scattered, very restless person. Moho, not only that, moho jalo samabrita, he is caught by the meshes of Maya. It jala. Jala, actually jala means net. You have seen fish in the net. They are bound. They cannot go any place. They will have to move within the net. Birds, when they are caught by the hunter, by a net, they are not free. They are bound. Swamiji told a beautiful story. Once a hunter caught a flock of birds and put them in a net. And he used to give food to these birds, and the birds are eating that food and they are getting a lot of weight. And every day the hunter would take a couple of two or three or four birds from that net and would sell, because that is the way he used to make his living. And you know, they would chop up, they would be killed, and they will be sold in the market. One bird saw the whole business of the hunter, and that bird decided not to eat anything. He saw other birds, the moment food comes, they eat and eat and eat, and they're getting fat, and they're getting a lot of weight. And this bird watched the whole thing, and he stopped eating. At last, that bird became just like a skeleton, very small. One day, he flew through the hole of the net and got freedom. And other birds are killed. So what Swamiji said, if you have tremendous self-control, you will get freedom. The moral of that story is that if you have self-control, you will get freedom. But if you are caught by the greed, lust, anger, if you are caught in that net of Maya, you will be bound, you will be killed. Moho jala samabdhi, mohir jala. We don't see it. There's a beautiful story. One monk came to Buddha and said, "Lord, it is good for me to go back to family life. I have tremendous desire for the world." Buddha looked at him and said, "Don't go. Master, it is not good for me to stay in the monastery and have these bad desires inside. Don't go. I know your past life," Buddha said. "In the past life, you are a fish. And the fishermen put a net. And you chased a female fish. The female fish saw the net in front and it took a other direction. But you did not see the net. You were so blind when you chased that fish. You straight hit that net and you were caught." And the fisherman was selling you to another people. "But I was present, so I caught you. I bought you, paying money to the fisherman. And again I brought you to the water and released you so that you can live freely. So I knew your past, so please stay. Conquer yourself. Curb your desire and be free." That is called mohojal, the net of delusion. Delusion makes the real unreal, unreal real. Atasmin tad buddhi. God alone is, Brahman is real, that pure consciousness within us. We think that it does not exist, it is unreal. The body is unreal, we know it. Either 40 years or 50 years or 100 years, it will go. But we feel this. Body is real. This is the outcome of moho, maya, delusion. Prashukta kamo bhogeshu. Krishna says prashukta. Extremely engrossed by worldly objects. They fall asucho naroki. They fall into a loathsome hell. hell, this conception of hell. Swami, what is the conception of hell? This body itself is a hell. Andam tama pravishanti je avidyam upasate tato bhuya evati tamajayu vidyagiratah anna deva udvidya anna dahura vidya iti shustrumadhiranam jinastadvachachakshire. Andam tama pravishanti je avidyam upasate, those who worship avidya, ignorance, they go into a dark realm. What does it mean, dark realm? Where there is no light, where there is no consciousness. They live with objects, with matter. Whatever you think, that you will be. If you think of matter, you will be matter. If you think of the spirit, you will be spirit. Where is your mind? There you are. A human being is nothing but his own thoughts. You see, you ashraddha, whatever belief that you be, that you become. If you believe in God, you will be God. If you believe in void, you will be void. Nothing. Krishna will explain further this reincarnation and other things. Hell. I heard that yesterday in the television there was a program. A Christian group was interviewed in Washington DC, and a person asked, if Buddhists do not believe in Christ, what will happen to the Buddhists? Well, they will go to hell. Hindus saying, Mahamajans saying, Jews saying. So those who do not believe in Christ, they will go to hell. I was thinking, you see, if I see Ramakrishna, Vivekananda, Holy Mother, Buddha, Krishna, all these people in the hell, I have no objection to go there. I shall be happy. Because, you see, Christ himself said, there are many doors of my Father's house. But it is hard to believe that how people are blind and make these types of statements. Only Christ is the only door. There is no other door. It is hard. Maya.
Atma sambhavita stabdha dhanamana madanvitaha yajanti nama jiggi sti dambhena avidhi purvakam. Self-honored, haughty, filled with the pride and the intoxication of wealth, they ostentatiously perform sacrifices which are so only in name, in utter disregard of precepts. Atma Shambhavita.
And he praises himself, whether good people are praised by others. But this person is not praised by others, so he praises himself. You see, when we had to take our first vows, brahmacharya vows, not final vows, at that time we had to repeat 12 mantras, 12 vows. One of them is Atma Shlaga Barjuniyaha. Give up vain self-glory. If you do it, it would be akin to suicide, as if you are killing yourself. Don't do that. Never praise yourself. That is one of the vows at the time of brahmacharya you will have to take. So if this person is Atma Shambhavita, and he praises himself. Self-glory. The wisdom of the desert, one Christian father said, two greatest obstacles in spiritual life are a self-glory, vain glory, and comfort. The moment comfort comes in your life, growth will stop. Let you have everything, don't be attached. Your goal is different. Your goal is God, the infinite. Atma Shambhavita, Stabdha. Stabdha means not humble. No humility. I remember the story of the Ramayana, Rama and Lakshmana were kidnapped by Mohiravana, one of the sons of Ravana. And Mohiravana's kingdom was in the netherworld. So Rama and Lakshmana went there. And Mohiravana wanted to kill these two enemies. So he asked Rama, now you bow down to the deity. When he would bow down, at that time he would kill him. Rama said, I am a son of a king. You see, I am a prince. I do not know how to bow down. You better show me first. So the Mohiravana bowed down to his deity, Divine Mother. And Rama took the sword from the Divine Mother's hand and killed the demon. So you see, those who are humble, they will be skeeved. That person, you know, he doesn't know how to bow down. Of course, in Rama's case, Rama got escaped because he came to know that Mohiravana was going to kill him. Man, mod. Man means prestige. There are some people, they are so much aware of their self-prestige. And mod means ego. They come from money. A silver tonic brings heat in the body, you see. Money is silver tonic. Being rich, they are conceited and arrogant. Dambhina avidipurvakam namajugvi jajanti. Whatever they do it just out of show, hypocritically. Suppose you want to perform a sacrifice. What sacrifice? Jyotishtam sacrifice. Jyotishtamena sargukamo jajitam. Or Ognihotram Juhihat Sargukama. If you want to go to heaven, practice fire worship. In the morning, at noon and the evening, pour oblation into the fire and repeat the mantras. So this is the injunction of the scripture, and it is also in the scripture that when you perform that sacrifice, you will first invoke the fire, you will have to repeat the mantra, you will have to pour the sacrificial fagots there. Then you will have to purify the sacrificial place. You will have to fast. All these conditions are there. But this man of demoniac nature does not follow the injunction of the scripture. What does he do? He will perform sacrifice out of his own whims. Because he will perhaps arrange a big party. And he will ask his priest, you know, that is the fire, pour oblation and repeat mantra. And he is busy with the party. You know, sometimes I see, you see, nowadays many offices have Christmas parties. What do? They go, eat, and drink, or dance, I don't know what do. The Christmas party, I understand Christmas party means you go to the church and bow down and pray and meditate. That is Christmas party to me. Christmas party means something should be connected with Christ. A Christmas party. So, there is only 1 hour, 2 hours office, they will go to a restaurant and will eat. It. You see, we understand, it is not the right way to worship Christ. Of course, Christmas party means I do not think it is worship. But I feel that it Christmas, to me, Christmas party must be, you know, performed in a very, you know, very nice way. That is the way I understood Christmas party, you see. But later on, I heard so many things. The Christmas time and the first, the New Year's time, you know, drunk driving, so many people are killed on the street, on the freeway. In Amajagi, they want a name. I performed this sacrifice here. You see, this Gita was perhaps written in 2500 years ago, still these words have meaning. You see, they have some implication in our day-to-day life. If you meditate on these verses, you can see their implications, their meanings. One of my teachers told me, don't read this scripture just for reading's sake. Read and think and just apply on your life. See whether it appeals inside you or not. It inspires you or not. Whether it tallies with your life or not. That he told me. If there is no application of the scripture on your life, then what is the use of reading the scripture? They worship just for name. Thing. I have seen some Calcutta also, doing Durga Puja, the rich people, you see, they have a microphone, a big loudspeaker is going on, and movie song is going on day and night, and that Babu is smoking, you know, in the living room, and the priests are doing puja, and a big hoi choi, you know, there is a big noise. No love, no devotion. They are a demoniac nature. So people come to Belur Math, our monastery, to see the worship, shaktik worship. And what devotion, you know, how we worship the Lord with devotion. So people come to our monastery to watch worship. And Calcutta is Barwari, you know, public festival for us. For the Clayton area, for us, four worships will be there. You know. They will go from house to house and will take donation, and they will form a puja committee, worship committee, and will buy a big image, and will may build a big pandal, and big festival, you see. Well, like your Christmas party. All right, you can ask me questions. That is also equally bad. You see, many people earn money, but very few people know how to spend money. I knew a jeweler in Calcutta. He told me, even the sweepers, cobblers earn money, but very few people know how to spend money. You need a special intelligence to spend money. If you have money, spend in a very wise way. Some people spend money in dog's marriage, cat's marriage. In India, some rich people, do you know how do they spend money? They build